And what I want to cover today is a very important review of what the Feast of Trumpets is all about and what it means to you and to me as members of the body of Christ. God expects us to review these things on a yearly basis, not because we know it all, it's because there's a lot we don't know. I want you to understand that. What we know by the grace of God because God has revealed these things to us. But the Bible is filled with much information that still has not been totally revealed. We are living in revelatory times, and we see that in Daniel chapter 12, where we are reminded where Daniel was given this marvelous vision thrust from his day and age into the 20th century, if I might take a target time, because that was about the time when things began to change. You know, the atomic age came online, and inventions and technology just kept exploding, better put. And one thing led to another to such a degree that we exploded with two world wars. We had Korea and Vietnam, and it was one of the bloodiest centuries in human history. Now we're in the 21st century. Where are we going from this point on? What is it that God wants us to understand? We thought we understood certain things in the past, and I would like to emphasize this again, that when we rely on the Word of God and just trust in what He has to say, we'll be on solid ground. When we allow ourselves to speculate or let other people speculate and we kind of blend speculation into what the Word of God has to say, we get into trouble. Now, we were in trouble in the past, too, because we thought certain things were going to happen way back at a certain time, and we had certain ideas in our mind because things circulate among God's people, you know. Oh, boy, back in the 70s, it's going to this, and maybe 80s, it's going to be that. What happens is that you begin to rely on misinformation. And I think what God has clearly shown us, and I wanted to stress this point at this juncture in the sermon, is that all your timings, forget about that. What you need to know is the events. And then you need to know exactly what God commands us to do regarding these events, as we will touch on just shortly. But these events are specifically spelled out to help us, and as we look at a puzzle. I've used this example before. If you take a puzzle and you throw all the pieces out there on the ground and you want to put that puzzle together. Now, if it's a 1,000-piece puzzle, count me out, because I'm a 12-piece puzzle man. I cannot handle 1,000 pieces. It drives me nuts. I don't have the patience for that. But 12 pieces I can handle. And what do? You look for the end corners. Why? Because once you find the end corners, you know that everything else laying out there, parts and pieces of the puzzle, are going to go on in the inside. Well, that's exactly the way it is with God's truth. God gives us the outline through the festivals of God, and He says these are important because if you don't understand these, you don't have the framework necessary to understand all these bits and pieces that keep coming at you as you live daily life. And God wants you to understand that in the context of how He has revealed His truth. So there are things He has revealed. But Daniel, remember, when he saw these things from his day and age, and he was given the privilege to go into the future via vision, and what did he see? He saw our day and age today in a way that just blew his mind. And he says, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Where is this going? What was that thing that I saw whoosh, streaking across? Oh, that's, you know, that's a F-16. You know an F-16. You common things today. More than jet aircraft, planes, things like that. Oh, that's an Apache helicopter. What does that look like? It looked like a giant grasshopper to him. What else could he call it? Now, you remember the particular movie some time back that was very popular called Back to the Future? Do you remember in that particular movie how that when he was transported back in time and he was wearing certain apparel at a given point in time and then back in that, and what is that strange clothing you're wearing there, son? You know, because you don't see things the same way at different times in history. And so the same way Daniel was thrown into our technological day and age in which it is absolutely, you got to know that had absolutely shocked him to the core. Because he not only saw these technological advances, he saw the tragedy of what would transpire. He saw the viciousness of World War I, World War II. How do I know? Because, again, all these things portray what the signs were to watch for, the seals that were spoken of in the book of Revelation. But remember, what did Daniel, he said, I want to know these things. And what did God tell him? Go your way, Daniel, for they are sealed until the time of the end. You and I are living in these end times in which we know that mankind is experiencing the latter years now of the 6,000 years that were set aside for man's rule upon the earth. The seventh and millennial Sabbath is going to dawn. Jesus gave us a clue on this when the disciples asked him. Remember, they were always wanting to know about the kingdom of God because Jesus taught that. He says, what shall we liken unto the kingdom of God? Well, it's like this, and what shall we, it's all like that. And he would give examples. He was kingdom of God conscious because that was his mission. He came from God the Father in the heavens above as the divine messenger of the Father to give revelation and understanding of the plan and purpose of what God was doing on this earth with human beings. Most people have not a clue because most people have not been called at this time to have the scales taken away from their eyes and from their ears so they can see and hear what you and I have been so blessed to hear and see in our lifetime. Something very precious has been given to us. It is called a pearl of great price. And you and I are told to hold on to that crown. Don't let anybody take that crown from you because there are individuals out there that would try to sabotage your conversion. And God wants you to stay close to him, all of us who fear God and want to walk in his ways. And what God shows them is that with these holy days, we are given the outline so that we can always keep in mind. But his disciples said, well, Lord, are you going to establish the kingdom now? Remember what Jesus said? The times and the seasons are not for you to worry about. God's got that all under charge and control. You and I have something else that we need to worry about. If we're living in this period of time and we're told that it's coming down in our day and age and we can see the world advancing in that direction and we don't know exactly when or how it's going to, you know, everybody, you listen to them now talking in the news media and they're saying, what will be the flashpoint that will suddenly cause everything to explode. Who would have thought back in World War I days, back in the early 1900s, when Archduke Ferdinand and his wife Sophia went to Kosovo, and they went as ambassadors of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which was the dominant power at that time of Central Europe. Who would have thought that a radical guy would have come up next to the coach where they were driving, because everything was open, who would have thought, and he just shot them both dead. The next thing you find in history is that suddenly all the nations had all these peace agreements and they were lining up with one another, and all of a sudden all of Europe erupted in war. All because, pow, one flashpoint. Right now everyone is wondering, what's the flashpoint going to be? They see what's happening in the Middle East. They see China and Japan now threatening possibly nuclear war over some islands over there in north of Japan. Japan claims these belong to us. China says, no, they don't. They belong to us. And they don't seem to have a real nice way of getting along with one another because they don't have the greatest feelings for one another after what Japan did to China in World War II. So here we go again. As one man said, it seems as if the spirit of 1938-39 is riding high again. And this is what we see brewing in the world. The activities that are happening are causing us to wonder just what's going to be the flashpoint to start this whole thing. Well, the Feast of Trumpets is designed to help us understand the flashpoint, help us to understand exactly what we're going to discuss today. I've entitled this sermon, Trumpets, that's trumpets, not trumpet, but trumpets. Trumpets and the seventh seal. Trumpets and the seventh seal, which translates to the day of the Lord. And this is important for us to understand because most people have not a clue as to what the day of the Lord is all about. If you would join me now, let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, this is very important because it correlates along with what Jesus said in Matthew 24, the famous Olivet prophecy. He goes and he discusses all these events and problems and difficulties will be happening. Verse 22 of this chapter says that, notice, these day be the day of vengeance. Vengeance, when or that all things which are written may be fulfilled. There's a lot of things that have been written that have not yet been fulfilled. The seals are coming off and understanding is being given to a greater degree through God's Spirit, which will teach us and lead us into all things. Right now, one of the most important books for members of the body of Christ to study is the book of Revelation. It is a book of prophecy. It comes from God to you, to me, and to whoever has ears to hear and reads that prophecy of the book of Revelation, because it says it will place a blessing on you if you do that. It was designed to help you understand what the conditions would be within the church of God, the body of Christ. And so it takes seven churches and it defines different elements that go through this body of believers and can come at any time, at any place in a person's life. There are times when people get really excited and they have a real zeal for God. And they really are moving forward. And then sometimes there are people who love God but go through intense persecution periods like the Smyrna church. And then there are times when Satan launches up and comes and really causes problems for people in the church of God. And that's why you have Pergamos. And then you have rebirths of Thyatira. Sometimes people get careless and they get so spiritually weak that they're almost dead. And so you have what is called Sardis. Then you have Philadelphia, people who take to heart what God is saying, and they really love God, and they really love their fellow human beings, called of God in the church of God, and all mankind, because they realize now what the plan and purpose of God is all about. But then there is a group of people who, because of the type of age in which we're living in the end, it says they become rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And that is not necessarily a focus on materialism, although that is a curse of our age today. People are materialistically mad, wanting physical things at the expense of others. But the thing we have to watch for is that we don't become spiritually materialistic, where we think, I know the plan of God, just like today. This is trumpets. And we could say, well, I've heard trumpet sermons before, so I know everything about trumpets. No, we don't. And we don't know a lot about a lot of things. And that's why we have to humbly come before God each and every time He commands us, whether it's the weekly Sabbath or the annual festivals. For what purpose? To help add another piece of the puzzle of what God is doing in His great plan and purpose He's working out with humankind. When this day comes to become a reality, it's going to be quite a shocker. Technically, the word trumpet is not found in Leviticus 23:24. Let's notice what it says. The famous codified areas, that's in Leviticus. And in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 24. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." Now, the actual term itself is not trumpets in the sense that you and I think about. What it calls in the Jewish Tanakh, it references in the Hebrew, it simply says that you shall observe a complete rest, a sacred occasion commemorated by loud blasts, like a trumpet. See, a trumpet is a piercing instrument. Now, this morning in the morning service, one of our members brought a shofar, and I became a shofar example. Shofar, show good. Because when I got to use this shofar, I puckered up. You got to pucker up when you blow a shofar, because it's like a trumpet. And you get it together, and I got it out. I made the sound on trumpets. But boy, did my lips pay a price. Because it really grabs your lips when you're not used to it. But the shofar does give a blast. And that was exactly what this particular day was all about. It's a day of blasts, of alerts, of alarmings. Little of that was covered in the sermonette. In Jesenius, Hebrew English lexicon, it says it is tumult, loud noise, a joyful noise, rejoicing, a warlike cry, a cry for battle, to raise a war cry, or the sound of a trumpet. So what we have here is that this festival has several applications. There may be more meaning and understanding because it doesn't say a whole lot right here in Leviticus 23. Now, you study the books of Numbers and other places and the book of Revelation, and you find trumpets are being blown all the time. When the new moon was observed in Old Testament times, they'd always blow the trumpet to let you know that the new moon, this was the start of another calendar month based on the way the calendar was observed at that time. So here we have this marvelous day set aside to sound the alarm. Now, what alarm are we talking about? You know, what does an alarm clock do to you or to me in the morning when it sounds off? It wakes us up, does it not? That's why we call it an alarm clock, because we're sound asleep and enjoying that bed, and it feels so good. And all of a sudden, bing, this thing goes off, and it, you know, they come in different sounds and all kinds of things. You have real nice music to wake you up. But if you had a real alarm clock, those old wind-up kind, you ever remember those old wind-up kind? Before they came up with all these fancy new doodad technology kind? Boy, it had those little hammer bells in there, and it was all bing-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. Boy, you had to shut that thing off because it just was so loud. Well, in this same particular situation, God is sounding a very loud alarm about this day. And he wants us to stop and consider, because you see, we're coming to the end of 6,000 years. And before the millennial Sabbath can come on this earth for a million people, how many people will survive? Only God will know the final answer. It'll start small by comparison, then it'll mushroom big. But for 1,000 years, the millennium, 1,000 years, we have been given the opportunity in our calling. In the spring of the year, when God revealed his way to us from Passover, then to the wave sheaf offering, followed by the days of unleavened bread, and brought us to Pentecost, and through his Spirit, he has brought us this way, and he's been training us and prepping us for the arrival of the final group of individuals that are going to be trained throughout that millennial period of time. We're fellow laborers, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. But do you think the nations of the world are just going to surrender and say, "Hello, Jesus, welcome back home. So nice to have you here." No, I'm afraid not. That's why it is a day of an alarm, because the world is going to be quite alarmed when Jesus Christ returns. They do not want to see him coming back and having to cede their power to him. He is to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You and I know that. They don't know that, and they're going to fight him, according to the book of Revelation. And so we are here today to understand that there is going to be something very, very serious transpiring representative of this day. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Minor prophet Amos, chapter 3 and verse 6. Says, shall the trumpet, here again, symbol of war, it's an alert. Isn't it interesting in the military? What do they do? Do they come out with a saxophone? Do they come out with guitars? Or do they come out with the cavalry charge? You know, they blow the horns, the trumpet, to alert the soldiers, to say, get up, move. And here we go. The trumpet has been blown in the city, and the people, shall they not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? In other words, God is working out his plan, and he is allowing things to happen. And he says, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets, and he has. Now, who is the prophet? Here we have Amos. That's one of God's prophets. You've got these prophets right here. And the ultimate prophet himself was Jesus Christ, who came from God the Father, sealed by God's authority. And that's why Jesus could say, I am not here to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. He was authorized by the Father. He came and he executed perfectly the will of the Father when he came to this earth. So here we have the Word of God as our foundation, the prophets, And we're to get back to the faith once delivered that was to the prophets, whether the Old Testament prophets or the disciples who became the apostles of the New Testament. All of this works together to help us understand the plan and purpose of God. So here we are seeing that again, there is a great dark day coming. And people need to be warned about this. Do you remember in the days of Noah? In the days of Noah, 120 years were set aside for what purpose? To give the people a chance to change. God was patient with them for 120 years. And most people paid no attention. They probably thought Noah was a crazy. And yet he was a prophet of righteousness, preaching, a preacher of righteousness, as the scripture says, warning the people in his day that God's going to send a flood for the evil behavior. And this time, it's not going to be a flood in the sense of the water that flooded the earth then. This time, it will be the terror of fire. And fire has a powerful effect upon people, because you'll remember when the terrible tragedy of 9/11 and people were in those buildings and fire was erupting everywhere. You'll never forget those pictures of what people were doing at 25 stories up, jumping out of windows. Why? Wow! The flash of fire coming at them. You could feel the heat. And they'd rather take their chances jumping 25 feet and hope to survive in some way, shape, or form rather than stand there and just be barbecued alive. It's a frightful thing. You see what has happened out there in the West when all the fires were raging here this past summer. Some are still raging out there. And that's only a foretaste of what Scripture is telling us. And we're going to see a little bit more about that here as we go on. But we go to the book of Joel. Joel, Amos. So we go to the book of Joel in chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Here again, the admonition, it says, blow you the trumpet in Zion. Now, Zion many times refers to Jerusalem and the land there in the Middle East. But it also has a spiritual connotation, spiritual Zion. That a trumpet should be blown in the church, the body of Christ, because the days we're facing are going to be quite perilous. And we're told that in Timothy's writings. You know, Paul wrote to him, he says, perilous times shall come. Men shall be seducers and wax worse and worse and all these terrible things. And we're seeing it happen. It's all around us. A person has to stick his or her head in the sand not to see that these are dangerous days. And the only reason we are blessed is because of the hand of God watching over us in this evil and wicked time. But he says, blow that horn or that trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm. You see, this is a day of an alarm. And it is to the world in which we live. It's because the world doesn't realize what's coming. You and I are given insight as to what is coming. And you and I are told to do what? Prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves for this because, as he says here, let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is nigh at hand. And every day that passes, it draws a little bit closer. It will be a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness and mourning spread upon the mountains, great people and strong. There has not ever been the like. Neither shall there be any more, even to the years of many generations. Then it talks about modern scientific warfare here and how scorched earth policy will be happening in this warring faction of time. And we know this to be the woes that are spoken of in the book of Revelation. And we're going to go through that a little bit here to show you again. Now, the last trumpet that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where it talks about Christ will come at the last trump, that has nothing to do with all these trumpets right now. Remember, Christ doesn't come till it's all been happened. It's all been poured out. We'll see that in just a moment. And this false festival reminds us, again, the world is unprepared for what is coming. They are just not prepared, and you and I are being told, since we live in this world, we must be prepared. That's why it's preach the gospel, tell it to the world as a witness, prepare the people, prepare yourself, prepare whoever hears you. Because when this happens, it's going to be explosive. And it's going to have a terrible effect upon mankind. And the book of Revelation gives you great insight into these trumpets. And most people, they disregard the book of Revelation. They say, it's just crazy. I don't understand it. And so what they have done, they've shut themselves off from critical things that will be happening. Now, I want to mention something here so that we take a look back here again in Luke 21:36. Luke 21, verse 36. It stresses all these different things, but here's what you and I are supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Some days I'm sure we do better than others, but this is what the criteria is. In light of all the signs and the lights that are flashing, here's what we are told to do. Number one, watch you therefore. Watch the signs and what is happening and what is going on around you, and pray always. Keep your lifeline to God through prayerful communication open. Because if you sever the communications with God, you will not be able to properly discern what you are seeing as you watch. God has to lead you with His Spirit to help you understand these things. But notice, if we watch and if we pray always, and what was the admonition? That you may be accounted worthy, notice, to escape. There is something coming that we should want to escape. We don't want to sit around and be there when this stuff comes knocking through the door. This is something God is telling us here. We need to escape all these things and that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So the ultimate end result will be Christ will be here, and He wants us to be able to stand before Him and to stand being secure and safe under His divine protection. Do you see things happening in the world that you say to yourself from time to time, boy, I'm glad I'm not over there or wherever that's happening? There's a lot of bad things happening to people right now, and it's only starters. Let's take a look at some other scriptures that I think it's important to look at. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. In the prophet Isaiah, he writes something here that is most important for us to consider. In Isaiah 34 and verse 8, it says, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." What he is telling us here is that the day of the Lord, a day in prophecy, is pictured as a year. When it says a day, it pictures it as a year based on the context of what it is referring to. And the day of the Lord, it says here, and the vengeance of God, and the year of recompenses, because God has what? He has a controversy with the nations. They are invading the apple of His eye, Jerusalem. They are setting up things in Jerusalem that God says are an abomination to Him. And He wants certain things to change. And He's going to take a very viable hand in this and change these things. Now let's take a look, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. This is a very important piece of scripture because it was something that Jesus Christ fulfilled when He walked into the synagogue and He was given the scroll of Isaiah, in which scrolls are a little bit different the way we think. You know, we have pages and things. They had the scroll like on two big rolls, and then the scroll, you push it this way and you wrap it around here, or you go this way and wrap it around here. You separate the scrolls this way. And so he had the scroll of Isaiah handed to him, and he moves it over to this place where we call chapter 61. And he says those very words in the Gospels. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." He says, "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek," which he did. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted," which he did. "To proclaim liberty to the captives," because humankind has been in a state of captivity under Satan's control and hasn't known it. And he did that. "And open up the prisons to them that are bound." Today, people are bound in terrible addictions. They have problems. You could name this, that, what have you. Fill in the missing blank. You know the different types of addictions. Put it this way. People are trapped with all kinds of issues that they are struggling with. And they are bound with these things. And Christ is the only way to set you free. And what did he say? He said, the truth of God would do what? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them, and the truth will set you free. It frees you up from these issues. It frees you up from these addictions. Why? Because your sins can be forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ. And so he stands up there and he does this in the synagogue. And then he goes on, what we have here is verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, what we just saw. The day of the Lord, 1 year being fulfilled in biblical prophecy as we see it. And notice how he goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Now the problem here, where most people don't realize, I mark this in my Bible so I never forget, that where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, I marked that in red. The rest of it I marked in blue. Because the red, after he said the acceptable year of the Lord, Jesus shut the scroll up and he gave it back to the particular headman there in the synagogue. Why didn't he say the rest of the scripture? Because it was not yet the day of vengeance. This day today represents the day of vengeance. And you remember we saw that in Luke 21. Remember I mentioned that? I said, this be the day of vengeance when all things written must be fulfilled. There's a lot of things written, folks. Men and women, young and old, we're smack dab in the middle of all this. And yet, again, there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle we may not fully understand. And please understand this. This is something I think we all need to understand in our relationship with God and one another. There's no shame in saying, I don't know. Because we don't. You know what you know, but there are things you don't know what you think you know. And this is one reason why God has, I believe, allowed certain history to be written in the church of God, where we thought certain things were going to happen at a certain time. I use this term. I say, I think we were ahead of our time. I think God showed it to us. We got excited and we ran, but we didn't have the knowledge to go with it. The timing wasn't right. But when you look around today, do you have to have faith that these things are happening? No. It's written, it's on the evening news all the time. What do you have to have faith in now? What's yet coming? And that's where we are today. God wants us to be warned. He doesn't want us to be fearful in a wrong way. But he wants us to understand this day is going to shake this world and people are going to understand what the fear of God is. And you and I have to voluntarily embrace that now, because I don't think any of us want to be shaken by God. He's going to shake this world, and the reason why he's got to do it is because people today don't want any part of him. And God says, oh, I'm sorry, this is my world, I created it. Yes, it's got a usurper in there right now, Satan the devil. We're going to take care of him in due time. But my people, you're going to come to learn that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you have sinned greatly. And mankind hasn't learned that. We've got atheists running around saying, there's no God. And God looks at them and says, only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All you have to do is look around. Look at yourself. Fearfully and wondrously are you made and put together. Why are we the way we are? because there's a God who made us in his image, male and female. He put us on this earth for a great purpose. And today people are blinded to that. Now there are people who think they have a lot of understanding about things. God says if they don't speak according to this word, don't pay any attention to them. There's a lot of things going on right now. People are jumping all over the place. The internet is filled with all kinds of things. And you and I are told not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, because the winds are blowing. They're blowing big time. But what people need to understand is that we're coming to the place now, because there have always been, and we can see, that the seal of false prophets, the first one, the second, and that's again, this scroll is being opened, and as it's pulled open and the seals are being cut one by one, you've got the false prophets, the war, the famine, the pestilence, and guess what's next, the fifth seal. That's tribulation. And it talks about that, about Daniel in chapter 12. There'll be a time of trouble like there never was. It's called Jacob's trouble in chapter 30. Because our country has never known the upheaval that is coming. We've had bad times in our nation's history. They just celebrated here not too long. I don't know why it's something to celebrate, but the most bloody history that took place in the 1800s in a cornfield up at called Antietam, where thousands of men went against each other with bayonets, could not even see each other in those cornfields so high, and were just slashing away at each other, and it was just a bloody mess. No one really understood how terrible that was until Matthew Brady made pictures when photography was first brought on the scene, and they could just see all these people just laying there, all just chopped to pieces, shot to pieces, killing one another. Then when you see something like that, then you begin to realize why God says when he comes back, he says, neither shall they learn war anymore. Ladies, you're not going to have to cry for your son sent off to combat somewhere and have him killed. You labored for 9 months to bring him into this world. You didn't send him over there to get him blown to pieces, but to love him all the days of your life and enjoy him. God wants families to enjoy one another. That's why this world is all mixed up. And God needs to come to bring us to our understanding. But then a tribulation, when that happens, what are we also told? Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation set up standing in the holy place where it shouldn't be. Most people say, abomination, what are you talking about? You have to go back. Jesus says, if you want to know, go back to Daniel. But you've heard me facetiously say that, you know, people have this idea the Old Testament is done away. Well, Jesus just shot that one down because he says, if you want to know, go to Daniel. Well, where is Daniel? He's in the Old Testament. But if it's done away, how am I ever going to know who the abomination of desolation is? That's why, again, you have to believe what God says, not what men say. And what the Bible clearly shows is there was a time when Antiochus Epiphanes invaded the Middle East, came into the temple, defiled the temple with pig's blood over the altar. That's the history of the Maccabees who came in and had to clear that whole thing up, and that became what they call the so-called Hanukkah in the fall or the winter. Sometimes people call it the Jewish Christmas, but that's not a Jewish Christmas. But it is a time when they had to rededicate the temple and the altar of God. But in the end time, we are told there's going to be a man of sin who is going to be an abomination. And he's going to come and stand where he shouldn't be. And when he does that, that's going to signal certain things happening. That's why you and I are told to watch and pray. You know, we look and hear these type of reports that they're going to build a temple in Jerusalem. There's going to be sacrifices restarted in there. And there's a certain element of the Jewish community have been trying to build all the things to get ready to start another thing. The only problem is the temple to be rebuilt in the book of Ezekiel says it's going to be God who's going to develop that temple. The Jews aren't going to develop a temple like that. Time doesn't permit. Remember how the old temple or the second temple, it took how many years? And they took Jesus to task for it. They said, he's going to destroy this temple in 3 days and raise it up. Now he was talking about his body, the temple of God. They took it, meaning the literal temple. They said, that took years to build. And you're going to put that thing together? Well, do the Jews have time to put all a big temple together over there in light of this world conditions? Is there a temple in this world somewhere presently? that is called the temple of God. Well, there's a lot of temples in this world, folks, if you've done your homework. There's a big one in a city called the city of God. Did you know there was a city of God? It has seven hills in it. It's called Rome. History validates it. And do you know who sits in that temple saying that he is the vicar of God, the vicar of Christ, who claims to be God's representative? Are we going to see a final individual who's going to come in and sit in that temple and be ordained or brought online as the final one, the man of sin? Is he going to be empowered by Satan the devil? Is he going to be the one to call down fire from heaven and people are going to jump? Right now, the present pontiff is over there in Lebanon, and he's been having a meeting with Muslim, Jew, Christian, and Catholic elements. He wants to bring all religions together. Interesting. Why I say that? What's going to happen? I don't know. Why do I tell you? Because you have to watch and pray to see. I'm watching. What's going to happen here? Is this going to be something that we have to be mindful of? And it says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing, look out, because that's when the trouble's going to start. The armies all around Jerusalem, the time of the Gentiles, 42 months. A lot of these things we have heard. We don't have to worry about just how the timing is. That's in God's hands. I think that's where people get hung up and Satan puts a hook in our flesh and gets people wasted. Because how many people, and I'm sure many of us have looked and seen all these different diagrams where people have got it all spelled out. They know exactly from the beginning to the end. I've seen my share, and I'm sure some of you have seen your share. And guess what? They've all been wrong. Now, why is that? Because Jesus said, through his admonition, through Paul in Romans, he says, no flesh will glory in his presence. If somebody can sit down and figure it all out, I know somebody who will, though. They're called two witnesses at the appropriate time. They're going to cry out the word of God. And when they do, God's sheep will hear the voice of those witnesses. And we will know when it is time to move, when it is time to do what God said. Because there will be people saying, hey, didn't you hear Jesus is over here? What did Jesus say? Don't go. Hey, didn't you know Jesus over there? What did Jesus say? Don't go. You begin to see the picture? To watch and pray? We've been given the overview, and we're reminded every year to bring this to bear and watch, because you're another year closer to where these things are going to come to pass. And many of them are slipping up on us very subtly. That's why we're told to watch. And yet, what does it say in Matthew 25 about the virgins? They all slumbered and slept. That's a warning to all of us that we've been sloppy in our relationship with God, that it's time to shake up, to wake up. The alarm is going off. The shofars are blowing. The ministry, reach your voice. Cry out. Isaiah 60, 58 and verse 1. Cry like a trumpet. Show my people their sins. It's time for all of us to wake up. What comes after the tribulation? According to Scripture, we're going to see heavenly signs. Heavenly signs that are going to suddenly cause great disruption. Why? Because God has to intervene. Let's go back to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea is a book that really has an awful lot to say for us now at this time. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 7. It says, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of your iniquity and the great hatred. Powerful scriptures here. Israel, verse 8 of chapter 8. Israel is swallowed up. Now they shall be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein there is no pleasure. For they have gone up to the Assyrians. That's the European element with Germany. Wild ass alone himself, Ephraim hath hired lovers. We've tried to put together all kinds of alliances. And what has happened? Those alliances have backfired on us. It's a crazy world in which we live. And as one man pointed out, the way things are going, we are moving right now in a very dangerous trend in this country that we might become a totalitarian power ourselves, because out of fear and worry that we will surrender freedoms and liberties that our forefathers gave their lives for, and as a result, we'll now be become a controlled society. There are some reports that there are certain things right now whereby they can monitor our every action. They know how we're coming and going, satellite control, all these drones flying overhead. We're living in difficult times, folks. And yet, again, Jesus said in Hosea, he prophesied here through Hosea, verse 6 of chapter 4, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," meaning the knowledge, the scriptural knowledge. "Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. You shall no more be a priest to me, seeing you have forgotten," notice, "the law of God. The law of your God, I will also forget your children." That concerns me because I see so many problems with little children today. Children having all kinds of problems and difficulties because, again, the society is not looking to God for answers. "As they increased, so they sinned against me, and therefore I will change their glory into shame." And right now, the glorious days of America seem to be fading very rapidly. So once that happens and the heavenly signs come forth, then we are told in Scripture in chapter 6, "Come and let us return." Israel begins to recognize there's a problem here. "Come, let us return unto the Lord, as he is torn and he will heal us. He is smitten and he will bind us up." After 2 days, a day for a year in prophecy, if our understanding is correct, "and he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." We know that the time is going to be cut short, according to Matthew 24. Why? Because it says, if it were not for the elect's sake, and God intervening and cutting time short as we know it, he said, there would be no flesh saved alive. That tells us loud and clear that if he, after 2 days, and then he cuts in, that the tribulation is in full force for 3 years, 3.5 years roughly, and as that third year comes, God begins to intervene and cut the time factor short by overriding it with the day of the Lord. And as that day goes forth, what do we have? Listen to this now. Now we have 7 trumpets going to be blown. It's all spelled out in the book of Revelation. The very first one is going to produce something that the world has never seen like this before. Hail, fire, and blood. 1/3 of nature burned up and destroyed. 1/3 of nature. If you've seen those terrible fires that were roaring in the West Coast and out there and past Mississippi, and so many of those homes burned up, and that's only a small smattering. And that's enough to scare the daylight out of you when you see the raging fires, when you see the floods and the things of that nature. You remember what God did to ancient Egypt? He put plagues on them too, didn't he? A little bit about hail and fire and mingle and some of these things to demonstrate his veracity in the eyes of not only the Israelites, but the Egyptians, to shake them to their foundation. Then the second trumpet blows, and it talks about 1/3 of the sea becomes blood. Now, scientists will probably try to say it's not really blood, it's the red tide. Well, the red tide, I doubt if it were the red tide, because if it were, God would have said it's the red tide. He said it's blood, and blood is blood. And that is not going to be very nice when you have 1/3 of the sea turning to blood. Then another trumpet. And it says fresh water becomes, 1/3 of the fresh water becomes bitter. And when you've got all these different mouths to feed and human beings needing water to drink, and 1/3 of your water supply disappears, well, look what's happened here with the crops when the water's not there. The lakes begin to go dry up. Rivers begin to dry up. People are having problems. Look at Atlanta, Georgia. They get their water from Lake Allatoona up there, and it's going down. Took a somewhat of a hurricane and a tropical storm to bring it up to full pool, but now it's going down again. And all the lakes out in the west are experiencing this. Then number 4, the fourth trumpet that is given, that's talked about in Revelation 8, 1/3 of light is taken away. So the sun breaks apart at one-third, and the moon and the stars, suddenly it's dark. Light just disappears. And it's spooky, because when you're, you know, well, this is still 12 o'clock, it's daylight. How come it's all of a sudden dark? That starts scaring people real quick when things are not like they're used to having. And this whole world is going to be shaken, as pictured by this day of trumpets. It's a day of crying to the world, you better cry out to God, and you better come to God in repentance, world, because these be the days of vengeance when all things are fulfilled, and a warning to us in the church of God, we can't assume that we're on the good seat and they're on the bad seat. We got to be sure that we're doing what God says and that we are the spotless virgin that he wants us to be, the bride of Christ when Christ returns. So these are some serious things to consider for all of us. Now we come to the last three, the fifth, sixth, and seventh vial, or trumpet, actually. It's not vials, but the trumpets. And we have in the fifth trumpet, that is a terrible thing that transpires. Let's take a look at that one in Revelation 8 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 13. Revelation 8 and 13, he says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Then we have in chapter 9 this terrible state of affairs here, where it says in verse 10, there was something that transpired. And in verse 10 it says, "And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months." So this is something, see, there's 5 months here. We're talking about a year, and yet this is 5 months. So there's a real compression of things that start to happen here if all this is going to come together within a year's time based on that. Or there's something else that we don't know and must yet to understand. But here a time frame is given to us, and this is in what context? It is the first woe. And it says, "And there was a king over them, an angel of the bottomless pit." In the Hebrew, his tongue was Abaddon, and in the Greek, his name was Apollyon. So this is an angel that is being released with demonic forces from the spiritual pit or penitentiary where Satan has these individuals, or better put, God has bound these malevolent spirits, and they are released toward the end when this comes up, and they do what? They are the ones that do havoc upon mankind. These are terrible things to talk about. Can you imagine being, how should I say, unable to function, to do? You can't live, move, and have being the way you want to. You're alive, but you're immobilized. You're just totally immobilized, and yet you're aware of everything going on around you. And you wish you were dead because of the terrible pain that was being inflicted with regard to this. I mean, I can say it, but I can't tell you beyond that point. None of us understand that fully. We read it, we believe it, but we've never experienced anything like this. This is why this day is such an awesome day of blow that shofar. Shake mankind to their senses. Make them wake up. There's great evils coming. And one woe is past, and here comes the second one. And here this one now is the sixth. This is the 200 million man army. Oh, brother. A 200 million man army. I remember a man I talked to years ago. He was a soldier in Korea, and he was giving a story about his experience in Korea at the time, called the Forgotten War now by many people who were there, because most people don't even call it. They called it a police action at the time, but the men who were there knew it was a real war. And he said, when the Chinese communists came into play, you know, when it was the North Koreans, that was one thing. But once we started getting all the way up to the Yalu River, the Chinese Reds came in, And once they added their numbers, sheer numbers, then they pushed everything back to the 38th parallel. And he mentioned on one particular occasion, he says, I cannot explain to you in any better terms. He said, it was the most terrifying experience of my life. He says, I watched in my unit where 50 caliber machine guns, we shot so much so fast that the barrels literally melted. And they had to pull the barrels off, put another barrel on as fast as they could and keep shooting. And the Chinese would blow their horn, that terrible horn. They have a battle cry horn. And they kept coming and coming. He says, I never saw so many people just coming and coming. And we'd shoot them and shoot them and shoot them. And they'd drop. And he said, they were coming and they didn't even have guns in their hands. The guys behind them grabbed the guns from the guys who fell in the front. And he says, it was a nightmare. He says, we called in air support and said, get here fast or we're history. They got the air support just in time to break the and blunt that terrible attack. A question was asked of this individual. He says, well, what did you do from there? He says, my friend, he says, we turned around and we ran like you know. He used an expletive. I'm not going to. But I think you get the message. It was frightening. Now, can you figure here, anyone facing a 200 million man army? It just defies description. And when that happens, it is going to cause a large portion of humankind to die. That's why the first and second woe, still within the framework of man doing certain things. Now God comes in with the third woe, the seven vials or the seven last plagues. And they come down fast and furious. And they're listed in there. Sores, sea of blood, in other words, more blood in the seas, fresh water turning bitter. In other words, it's magnifying what has already happened. And then number four, the fourth vial, comes scorching sun. We had a hot summer this year, and boy, people were just burning up. Can you imagine now the sun getting hotter, one time hotter, two, three, four, seven times hotter than what it is? And it just, people are going to be absolutely burning up. And yet people still survive in all of this. That's the amazing thing, because people are still there going through a lot of this. Then there's going to be darkness, and then Euphrates is going to dry up. And that's when that 200 million man army is going to swing around after they've done their dirty work in Europe, wiping out the European beast power, and come down to the Middle East. And then in verse 7, that's when God pours out that seventh and last, a giant earthquake. Everything is shaking like crazy, and Christ comes out. He comes at the end of the pouring out of that last vial. Where does he go? Zechariah 14. His feet shall stand in that day in the Mount of Olives. Revelation 19 says he comes out of the heavens on a horse, and the armies of heaven come with him. You and I have a date with destiny if we are so blessed to be there with him, to bring about the final conclusion of man's world, and the day in which mankind will now come to see who the real, one and only true God is. This day is a call to wake up mankind. And for us, wake up, Church of God. Make sure that we're getting close to our God each and every day. Because only God is going to be able to preserve, seal, and protect those that look to him. And those that cry out to him in the tribulation, He will intervene for them, those who finally respond to God's calling. But to the ones that want to fight God, well, that's going to be a sad day indeed. And I would just like to wrap this up by saying the following, that God has something very important for us to keep in mind. He wants us to recognize that we are the clay and he is the potter, Isaiah 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 13. Wherefore the Lord says, forasmuch as this people draws near to me with their mouth, but with their lips they honor me, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works that are in the dark, who say, who sees us and who knows us? Well, God makes that very clear. He says he's going to intervene. He's going to take charge. And he wants us to recognize in the time we have remaining, you and I are told we have to do something. We have to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. That's found in the book of Jude, verse 3 and 4. And with that, I'd like to leave this wonderful word of encouragement to each and every one of us. That God has promised, he said, we have not been appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation through Christ Jesus. And when he returns, because we have done our part, God definitely will do his part. He will grant us the wonderful privilege to join ranks with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, and we will walk with Jesus through the millennium, and we will see mankind changed, and to see and experience the very fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Bible. Remember, much is yet to be fulfilled. That's why we are called to hunger and thirst for his righteousness. And if we do, we will be filled. Godspeed that day, and may God's richest blessing be on all of you on this holy day.